Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the NFL Scotland podcast. Week one is in the bag and what a week it was. Many NFL fans descended upon the Golf Tavern with us to see records broken and shocks aplenty. My name is Cameron Hobbs.
And my name is Paul Mitchell. We've just about recovered from what was almost 9 hours of non-stop football action at the Golf Tavern in Edinburgh. We're going to be looking at some of the highs and a good number of the lows from the Week 1 NFL fixtures.
We're then straight into preview for Week 2, looking ahead to another full fixture card and some more great matchups.
We'll also be making our selections in the next stage of our Pick 6 selection. I wonder who's winning that. And as always, we'll have the latest news, including the last episode of Hard Knocks, and boy, was that good. So we're going to be chatting about that. We'll look at some of the other stories and some of the injuries that have caught our eye around the NFL this week.
So let's kick off then, and we'll look back at the games that happened then as part of Week 1, and we'll go all the way back to what feels like an absolute age ago now, to the Eagles opening up against the Atlanta Falcons. And it was a bit of an underwhelming start, to be honest.
Yeah, I think if the NFL's been unlucky with something, it's been that the kickoff games haven't been great. Thursday night broadcast on NBC, it gets the big licks for it, but you never really get a great game out of it. And to be fair, we didn't get a great game out of it. Again, I mean, the Eagles found a way to win. I think they'll be happy enough with that. When you don't have your main quarterback, I think, yeah, you get off to a winning start. Sometimes it can be that trap game, especially against such a good team as the Falcons. I'm sure the Eagles didn't appreciate seeing that on their schedule in Week 1. London-born, did his job. Jay Ajayi, if anybody's never figured out, he was born in London. You know, very impressive, 15 carries with a couple of touchdowns. So, I mean, we often knock him, but that's a really impressive start. And I think that shows that now he's been there the pre-season, as well as just coming in for the last number of games, and a Super Bowl winner. They're going to figure out ways to use him. So I think that, to me, that was the main takeaway from the game.
Yeah, I was watching the game. In the first half, they hardly used him. And actually, Darren Sproles was getting a lot of the game. They were using Corey Clement a lot. And I was thinking, where's Jay Ajayi? He's almost hardly seen the park at all. When he was there, they were turning to throw. He maybe would be used a couple of times for big, important third downs. But then he started finding the end zone. Found it 3 times, of course. 2 touchdowns, that 2-point. Yep. Attempt as well, 62 yards, but there were important yards, and he did have a very good game, got them that win. Atlanta Falcons, not a great start, and obviously some injuries to them right away, losing a couple of big defensive players right away, and we'll come on to that in the news section, but a really difficult start for them.
Yep, and the other thing I should say, because I've got his jersey as a Saints player, Darren Sproles, it was good to see him back. He missed most of last year with injury, so
he looked good too as well. He looked sharp, and that was it. He is an old player, there's no denying it, and you wondered, is he ever going to come back after a year and still be the same? He certainly still had a bit of zip about him, and that's always been what he's been about, so pleasing to see, and I think he's going to be a factor for the Eagles this year. So moving on then, and let's start going through our Sunday night games as well. And for those that came along to the Golf Tavern, you know, we had Red Zone on, we had the Sky game, which was the 49ers Vikings, so we'll maybe start with that one there. And obviously, I want to get this out the way as well as a 49er. So Jimmy Garoppolo's first defeat, it had to happen at some point. And I think I said this in the run-up as well. I kind of anticipated this, and I thought it would be close. And it was quite close, score-wise.
24-16, I mean, it was close. The third quarter, the Vikings got the 2 touchdowns to extend the lead. That was important for them. I think what you can take out of this is the Vikings look like they've made the right decision at quarterback. Kirk Cousins looked comfortable, he looked poised. Even the few times he was harried, I thought the footwork was great. So I thought there was plenty there. Adam Thielen again shows he's going to be a big target, 6 receptions, 102 yards, so very important. Did San Francisco leave you with a feeling of, oh, it's going to be that kind of season? I don't think they did.
No, and especially the link-up between Garoppolo and Kittle seems to be strong already, and that's good. I think as a Niner, the two things that I like to see is a big, strong running back and a connection between the quarterback and the tight end. Certainly, over the recent years, that's been what I've seen from the Niners, and it's nice to see it. Kittle looks like a good, safe pair of hands. Great to see Pettis get his first touchdown. Thought he did brilliantly to get his feet down as well, so that's positive. And obviously, they've lost Jerick McKinnon, so they were planning to come in with him. They've not got him. They've brought in Alfred Morris, so they're playing with that committee as well. Breida's a young running back. That'll take a bit of time to gel. And let's be honest, the Vikings is a tough place to go. To go into Minnesota against what is a really good defense. And obviously, Jimmy intercepted 3 times isn't ideal, but he's not going to be up against a defense like that most weeks, other than when he plays the Rams. But that's another story as well.
I think other teams will struggle there. I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think for the Vikings, it was important that they got off to the winning start because they made that big call on the quarterback, and you want that quarterback to play well, and he did. So I think that's a big tick in the box there. I mean, you talked about the footwork. I mean, that's just one of the things that continues to really impress me, how these NFL receivers are so aware to drag the feet and move the feet in the way they do. And that was a classic example. It was a good throw by Jimmy Garoppolo, but he had to get there.
It's the adjustment too as well that I think is fascinating, where they've, especially for a rookie like Pettis, who's come out of college, where he only has to get 1 foot in bounds, and already he's got that mind to put both down. And I think, brilliant. That's what you want to see. I mean, granted, you know, he was a high pick for the Niners, but that's exactly the sort of things you want to see them producing early. And there's a lot of positive signs. I've got every bit of faith in Jimmy Garoppolo. There's progress under Shanahan. If you go back to week one of last season that the Niners were and what you saw there, night and day. Night and day. So no, there's no panic buttons being pressed just yet. And you're right, I thought Kirk Cousins was really good. Dalvin Cook coming back from injury, obviously he's got to blow some of the rust out of him, but I think he did pretty well as well. Adam Thielen, I'd said it. I reckon that Adam Thielen would be one of the biggest drop-offs in fantasy football. So I'm claiming that. You know, Viking fans, you can thank me, because clearly that's been the contributing factor to him and having another 100-plus yard game. So yeah, all looking very positive in Minnesota. Another player that's just coming back from injury that had a terrible start but brought it back a little bit is Deshaun Watson, the Texans versus the Patriots. And this was one that we went on different ways in our pick six section in week one. You were right and I was wrong. I thought Deshaun Watson would come back all guns firing. I thought that they would go into New England. That's, you know, they've no Edelman, the problems up there, lots of change, and I thought they would blow the Patriots away. And don't bet against the Patriots, Cameron. I should know better than that. But Watson, to be fair to him, a horrible start. Really didn't get anything going. Second half got much better. They came into it, and actually it was quite close in the end.
I was quite underwhelmed by this game. It didn't grab me. It was one of these games you think, this is going to be a great game. And it just seemed to underwhelm. And I don't know if that's particularly fail or not. But, you know, 21-6 at one point. And that, you know, at the half, and you think, this is just going to be... I mean, tip your cap to Tom Brady again. Although he was sacked a couple of times. I think that will concern. They'll have a look at the line. What I was probably more worried for Houston about the rushing. They just don't seem to be... Lamar Miller... 20 carries, 98 yards. He did burst for a 31, which I think puts a nicer spin on that, because if you take that out, you're looking at 3 yards. You're not looking at anything that I thought was particularly explosive. I mean, you know, Blue came in, Hopkins had done one run and just got absolutely stuffed. And then on the ball, you know, Burkhead, a lot was made about him, a lot was made about Hill. They didn't really do anything. It just seemed to be one of those... In Scottish football terms, Celtic 2, Hamilton 0.
You know
it was going to happen, and there was just nothing overly exciting about it. And, you know, we're watching it off red zone rather than the game in full. And sometimes that can colour the way you look at a game. But, again, it just seemed to be another year for New England. Ah, right, let's get the win, we're at home. And that's what it was.
So moving on to that then, and I've got my misery out of the way. So, Paul, let's address yours, because there's a lot to be discussed here. Tampa Bay 48, the New Orleans Saints 40. Who saw that coming?
Well, no one, I think, is the simple answer. And I think that there's a couple of really interesting things coming out of here. A couple of the Saints guys have come in and said, you know, we've been slapped down. It's the message that we needed. We're going to focus. That's bull. I mean, it just is. You do not need that message in week one of a season. And the Saints started 0-2 last year. The Saints are notoriously slow starters. But no, I don't buy into that in any way, shape or form. Kamara was in good form. Gillislee was disappointing. There's no doubt about that. But again, you've just got to go look at the secondary, the much vaunted secondary that we have. And I mean, it just went wrong. Marcus Williams had a horrible game. Crawley and Lattimore. I mean, they were torched by Evans and Jackson. And that's what concerned. The biggest play for me was, if you give Breeze the ball, we can score. So, you know, they're 48-24 down. Touchdown, two-point conversion. Touchdown, two-point conversion. Yeah. 2.5 minutes to go. You're looking at 3rd and 11, round about the 20, and they allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to scramble 15 yards or so. That's stunning.
Yeah.
Utterly stunning. So you've got the coverage, but you've not dropped somebody across to watch the quarterback. Now flip this across the way. If you're a Bucks fan, absolutely tremendous. You have got to be thrilled about this. You've gone into one of your rivals. You've knocked 48 points, which equals their record. I think it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who said they were disappointed not to get 50. Great line, because that would have been the first time in their history. Nobody saw it coming, but I think it's a template for some other teams that if you think you're going to lose to a high-scoring team, you know, don't go crazy, but actually start to play a little bit. And why not? They've got talented receivers.
Yep.
I like Fitzpatrick. I think he's a quarterback who's been there, seen it, done it. He's more than capable of the long throw. And he basically proved that. But it was gutsy play calling. But they're talking, Dirk Cutter was very, very strange in his aftermath, whether it was him or the new man.
Yeah.
Whether he was calling the plays. And you've just got to say that I just was impressed by them.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Monckton, that's the name that eluded me for a moment. And the best broadcast line of the day belonged to the Tampa Bay Rays radio crew, who this play-by-play man, the bearded guy, has torched their secondary, I think was the line. or the beard beats the secondary, I think was the... And you just think, that's just brilliant. You know, it was beautifully delivered. I think you don't need a wake-up call in week one. That's poor preparation. It's, can you go with lack of professionalism this early in the season?
Can you be accused of being lack of professionalism and still score 40 points? Is it just a bit off?
Well, you can on the defensive side of the ball.
And do you think the defence then made Fitzpatrick look good? Or has Fitzpatrick done enough to make you think that maybe he just bested the secondary? Or is it a combination of all the moving parts? I mean, DeSean Jackson... you know, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. People will be scrambling to add him to their fantasy teams because I guarantee he wasn't on that many to start with. Mike Evans got 147 yards as well. The run game wasn't particularly strong, but I don't think we expected much off that anyway. They were tremendous. It just felt like everything worked though. But do you think that's on the defense?
I think the loss is on the defense. You can't score 40 points at home and not win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous. For Tampa, I thought they got a little bit too conservative, and sometimes that's a very bad thing. Because I say, if Drew Brees had got that ball back with 2.5 minutes to go, I'm fairly certain the Saints were winning that game.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you've got to score a touchdown, 2-point conversion, but he'd done it twice already in that quarter, and that's what he's built for. So, yeah, I think the defence takes the blame. Dennis Allen and co. have got to have a look at that, and now they've got the Browns coming in. And it's too early in the season for a must win. I don't buy into it. There's been a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth from Saints fans. You know, if they lost to the Browns, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the season. But I hope Tampa be, because, I mean, Dirk Cutter came across very likable in Hard Knocks last year, and they just failed to deliver in any meaningful way. And hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, we will have a genuine debate whether it should be the beard or Jameis Winston.
I wonder how much as well, we saw obviously Fitzpatrick a couple of times last season, but it's when Winston was injured, an unexpected change. They've known that Winston's coming up for this ban, it's been known about for a while, so they could actually prep the game and build it around Fitzpatrick, which is maybe a slight difference to what they had when he had to go in last season. I thought Fitzpatrick when he was at the Jets was good, and I remember thinking, the Bucks have probably got the best, or one of the best backups in the league, and... Personally, as well, I've said on this pod a few times already, I do feel like Jameis Winston is a man slightly unhinged, and I think Fitzpatrick could win that job, and there's certainly 48 points in week one ain't going to do you any harm.
If he's 2-1 when Winston comes back, I think it takes a big coach to say, I often compare it to a goalkeeper in football. You know, if you're a goalkeeper, you come in because the other guy's injured, you keep three clean sheets. Yeah. Many managers will drop that goalkeeper because the other guy's better. That's the basic bottom line. And we might see this here, you know, Winston is their guy. Thanks very much, Ryan. You're going to have a seat over there because he's going back in because we think he's the better player.
So moving on then, Jacksonville versus the Giants. This was the Saquon Barkley debut that everyone was excited about. And started off that the Jags D seemed to have him pretty well contained. Now, he had one big, massive play there, 68-yard runaway for a touchdown. But other than that, not really all that much. But again, perhaps down to Jacksonville's defense, which we know is one of the best in the game, rather than anything else. Jacksonville, an important win for them.
I thought it was very important. I did tip it, I have to say. I thought they would win in New York. What I didn't expect, obviously, was the pouring rain.
Yeah.
And that changes games immediately. So for Barkley to have to play in those conditions to start with, you know, just a little bit more slippery underfoot, you're wanting to make sure ball security is fine, and then you're facing one of the best defences in the league. So I think all of that was the perfect storm against him. His one run, he did look good, but he did that in college.
Yeah.
You know, he does have that ability. Yeah. They've drafted him. If anything, slightly disappointed with Eli Manning that he wasn't able to use that a little bit better. You don't want to lose your home opener. But again, I don't think there's alarm bells ringing for the Giants. I mean, if you're looking at alarm bells, I mean, the Buffalo Bills will be deafened. I mean, they got absolutely decimated by the Ravens. Now, people were thinking the Ravens were going to be good. People were thinking the Ravens had a good defense. But if you were going to tell me that Lamar Miller would be coming into the game basically just to get some snaps and practice because it was all done and dusted.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I think the Bills have announced change of a starting quarterback in week two.
Well, Lamar Miller got as many yards as Nathan Peterman got in the whole game. Nathan Peterman, though, threw for two interceptions, whereas Lamar Jackson didn't. Unbelievable. Obviously, Allen came into the game, was 6 for 15 for 74 yards. Peterman, 5 for 18 for 24 yards. Oh, it was ugly. Really, really ugly. Even Shady McCoy, their go-to man, 22 yards off 7 attempts. It was pitiful. And I mean, obviously, the weather had a factor in a number of the games.
Yes.
And I think this is the asterisk upon which a few of these coaches and teams can hang their hats on, because it was a torrential downpour. And they can argue that, you know, they couldn't play their receiving game. It made it difficult on defense to actually break things up. A lot of the game was played on the ground and what have you. But yeah, that's maybe just in some cases an asterisk. And I think the Bills, they would be struggling to use that as their excuse. They were just plain honking.
Now, you can use what you've said two ways. If I am preparing for the first game of the season, you should be fresh, you should be sprightly, you should have some new plays up your sleeves. Now, you can say that happens to the defence as well, but you would expect to see some life. And they do say it's harder on offence because of the timing and it's getting together, whereas the defence can get into it a little bit quicker. But that was horrible.
Yeah.
And there's been very few horrible performances. We were talking, and we're going to try and bring in some awards, some Scottish awards, every week. So if we are going to go for, and I think we could go with a honking award, because honking is just such a wonderful Scottish word. If you're listening to us beyond the borders of Scotland and Great Britain, honking would traditionally mean exceptionally bad.
Yeah.
And I think you would have to hang our honking award onto the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So speaking about storms then, we have to talk about the longest game in NFL history as the Miami Dolphins eventually beat the Tennessee Titans. 7 hours and 10 minutes, I think it was, in the end that the game went on for, which beat the previous game, which was 5 hours and 24 or something like that. So it didn't just, you know, sneak it. It decimated it. Two lightning delays. Not a very good game until the final quarter where, you know, the lightning was on the park rather than above it.
Well, Jakeem Graham, you know, with that, you know, the brilliant 102-yard kickoff return was just stunning. And that's why I love the kickoff, and we've got to protect the kickoff. And you've got to do everything you can for player safety. But the kickoff play is brilliant, because that's what you get to see. There's nothing better than that realisation that he's broken all the coverage and he's going in. Positives for the Dolphin, Ryan Tannehill comes back, your home game. Not much has been thought of the Dolphins, so I think they played well, conservatively. Just a good final quarter. Not sure Jay Cutler would have coped with a game that was 7.5 hours. The Titans, on the flip side of that, really disappointing. I know Mariota hurt himself.
Yeah.
Delaney Walker's out, and that's a tough one. But if the Titans were going to be that kind of team that were going to target the Jags, going down to Miami is one they had to win.
Oh, absolutely. And Mariota wasn't even onto that great of a game anyway.
No.
You know, 9 for 16, 103 yards, 2 interceptions. Blaine Gabbert actually came in and did better, only through 1 interception. So, you know, the Titans were disappointing, really. Deion Lewis, perhaps the only one, you know, had a decent runaway there for a touchdown, looked good. On the other side, the Dolphins, Frank Gore was their biggest runner, which I suppose is great, because an old man like Frank Gore, he probably got about 20 minutes between each play if it's 7 hours and 10 minutes long, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But yeah, I mean, even as the points go, it was pretty rubbish. What was it, 10-3 at the end of the third quarter, and it ended 20-27. So, you know, 17 points scored by each team in the fourth quarter. Obviously, they recharged their batteries multiple times, supercharged from the line and above. And it was close, but yeah, again, it's another one I feel like so disrupted. It's really hard to see out of that one. There's not a lot you can take away. Again, Mariota injured his foot. You definitely don't want to be starting with Blaine Gabbert. You're not going to go far there. So fingers crossed he comes back. Jonnu Smith now is going to have to step up at tight end and show what he's all about.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's a tough start for the Titans for sure.
Also, I mean, you look at it and you think, there's several games that teams had to win. And then there's other games that teams just get that bounce. And I think it was the Floridian bounce with Miami. I think that's great for them, and also for Tampa Bay, because there's a lot of bad college performances in Florida at the moment. So it's good to see the pro game. Both teams just getting that lift, and that might just spur them on to something else.
So moving on then, and we've got the Bengals-Colts. Now, we said that this was a bit of a non-event, but in the end, it was actually a decent game. And Andrew Luck is definitely back, which is good to see. You know, 39 for 53 attempts, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Not bad for a player who's coming back off a big, nasty shoulder injury, which obviously, as a quarterback, your shoulder and your legs are the two things probably most important other than your head. and that's a solid start, and pleasing to see that he's back in the league. The Bengals still did really well. I thought Andy Dalton played really well, and we talked about this before the start of the season. They're fit again. They've got all the pieces fit. And when everybody's fit, the Bengals could be a good team. The problem is keeping everybody fit. But AJ Green had a good game, 92 yards, a touchdown. Joe Mixon did really well, 95 yards rushing, 54 receiving, a touchdown himself. Tyler Eifert back after injury as well. He's a big red zone threat, which is good for them. So there's definitely some positives that the Bengals can take away from that.
See, I think there's positives exactly as you mentioned. Also should point out, I think they had the best new look uniform, the black. I thought they looked the part. I think there's two things. I mean, Andy Dalton, 3 scores in the final 19 minutes, very impressive. But if you're a Colts fan walking away from that, are you thinking, we lost 34-23? Or are you walking away going, ha, our boy's back? And I think it's the latter. I think, you know, it was going to be a tough game. It was one of these ones that probably, you know, people would, 50-50, I'll go with the home team. Andrew Luck nearly rallied his team. He had the chance to come back and score a final touchdown to win the game. It didn't work for him on that occasion. Poor play. But I think that's what the Colts will take out of it. New head coach, quarterback's back, things didn't look too bad, and it might not be as bad a season as they think. I think the Bengals, that sets them absolutely on their way to 8-8.
One team that definitely will not finish 8-8 is the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cleveland Browns, because they've got a 1 in the tie column. So, well, the Cleveland Browns have started unbeaten.
What a game that was. And if you were with us at the Golf Tavern, that's the game that everybody was following.
Yep.
It was quite remarkable. And in our Pick'em League, It's interesting. I had to look at the whole NFL Pick'em League, and some people actually got all 15 right.
Yeah.
And of course, nobody would predict a tie because nobody's that daft. So nobody can have the perfect season. What are my takeaways from it? The Steelers did their best to lose the game.
Yep.
If you look at it from a serious point of view, if you are plus five in turnovers and don't win a game, you've got problems, and the Browns have got problems. You cannot be at home, be plus five in turnovers and not win a game. They should have lost the game. Chris Boswell had the chance with a kick to start with. At least has got close to the posts.
Yeah.
The Browns' kick got charged down. And again, I just thought the last few minutes of overtime, when they had the ball, there wasn't a belief that they were going to move it down the field to win the game. There was a penalty that brought them back. They could have gone further. But there's just something. They should have lost the game and fought back brilliantly. They should have lost the game through then the field goal, and they came back. You cannot keep missing chances.
Yeah, definitely. And that was their opportunity to finally get the monkey off their back, and they didn't do it. Obviously, that blocked field goal, and the reaction in the pub said it all. You know, it was a predominantly heads and hands, apart from the few Steelers fans that were there that were obviously cheering. I think there's enough that we've seen from the game that the Browns are definitely not going to be as bad as they were last year. I think there's definitely progress there. Again, another game heavily impacted by the weather. Yeah. It was rotten. For the Steelers as well, any worry about Bell were kind of dispelled pretty quickly with Connor. 135 yards, two touchdowns, and he looked the part.
See, that's the thing. He looked the part. What's he going to do week two? Because everybody's rushed to get him in fantasy.
Totally.
Understandably so. Because he's either going to boom or bust. If you're Bell, you're worried because this guy is now showing that with the right blocking, he can do it 1 week. But he's got to do it over two or three. And he may well do, to be absolutely fair to him. But I'd be concerned. I think a couple of the interceptions from Ben Roethlisberger, would he have thrown that on a dry day? Possibly not.
Yeah.
He looked rusty.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that came out of this game, and it came out of the Saints game as well, is some of the hits on the quarterback that were being flagged were appalling. I mean, Myles Garrett, you know, took down Ben Roethlisberger, and there was nothing wrong with it. The Saints had a couple as well. Onyemura, I think it was, had one of them. And you just think,
what are the guys to do?
What? How are you supposed to stop in midair? This needs sorted out, and this needs sorted out quickly. They talk about they don't want the body weight of the player, you know, landing on the quarterback. But you've got to figure out the difference between being 3 feet away from someone and the ball's thrown, and can you stop?
Yeah.
And being literally right on top of them. Yeah. And I thought some of the penalty calling was poor. Now, was that rusty on the officials' part? Well, give them the benefit of the doubt in week one. Don't want to see this in week two and three.
No.
Because they were... there was some poor calling.
255 accepted penalties in week one. It's a new record.
Yeah.
Previous was 222 in 2014. 255 accepted penalties. That is absolutely unreal. You kind of get it a little bit. When they change the rules, you're going to see some of this. But, like you say, it doesn't feel like some of the flags are being thought through from a practical point of view. There was some of those. There was some of those where you could see a player's gone through and you understand they're protecting the quarterback and you don't want to hit him square on, come down on top of him, sort of almost like spear tackling in rugby a little bit. You know, they are out ruling that, but there's fringes within that law. And I think that if they go by the letter of it every single time, there's going to be some nonsense calls. And you're going to get frustrated edge defenders that are going to be reluctant to even hit the quarterback eventually. And then you almost take that out. Now, maybe that's what the league are looking for. Maybe they don't want to. But much like, you know, we lament the way that some of the Scottish refereeing in Scottish football goes, and it seems to be one rule here and a different rule there. And, you know, this season you've got the situations with players kicking out but nothing happening, and then sort of dodgy last man tackles being upheld and stuff like that. And it just leaves people frustrated because they just are like, I don't get it. I don't understand why this is this rule. If they don't come out and communicate this better, I think the NFL, then they do run the risk of just pissing people off.
Yeah, I think you looked at a couple of the court meetings. I think Ben Roethlisberger almost looked and thought, I've got a flag for him hitting me like that.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. The problem with laws is laws are interpreted.
Yeah.
The thing with rules is it's either one or the other. So you do have this interpretation. They are erring on the side of caution, but if you're a 300-pound bloke, you cannot stop on a dime. No. And they have got to figure out the difference between somebody who's doing their job and somebody who's putting a bad hit on. And they've got to do it sooner rather than later, because part of the joy, if you are that edge rusher, you've got past your man, you're doing your job as a defender, and you're allowed then to hit the quarterback. They're not doing it to injure, they're trying to stop the play. And I think they've got to do something about that.
Yeah, there was the player who was ejected from the Bengals game.
But that was right.
Yes, I was just going to say, that was a nasty head tackle, and he's gone in hard on Andrew Luck. And at the time I thought, you know, he does deserve to be ejected for that. He's come out and sort of said, oh, I don't really understand why, but no, you just can't tackle a quarterback like that. And he has gone in nasty. And that's something that the Bengals have had, a nasty streak through their defence for a long time.
We were sitting watching the games with guys who've watched the game for a long time and some people who've watched the game for shorter times. Now, the play we talked about on Big Ben, nobody thought that was a penalty. Yeah. The one on Andrew Luck, everybody knew that it was. Now, we can tell from that the referees have got to do a slightly better job. But just before we move away from the Steelers and Browns, I would like to nominate the Browns as the most Scottish performance award of the week. It just seems, you know, losing, brought it back, chance to win, didn't take it.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue with you, to be perfectly honest. The only one as a contender is the New Orleans Saints, because there's not many people score 40 points and lose, which feels like a really Scottish way to run a game as well, to do as much as you possibly can, you know, to go 2-1 up against England and be in injury time at home, and you just got to hang. No, you can't hang on. You know, it's just typical, isn't it? Right, okay, so let's move on then to the later games, and Kansas City Chiefs versus the LA Chargers. And we were all sitting in the golf saying, ah, the Chargers are going to win the division. Mm. You, me and Jamie. Don was the only one who said, I fancied the Chiefs. I think Don got this one absolutely spot on.
Well, Tyreek Hill was amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just amazing. What a pickup. 3 touchdowns. I mean, you know, if you look at the scoring, apart, they outscored them in the first 3 quarters. Now, that's hard to do on the road. So that's 14-6 and 14-0. So the two first, you know, the periods of the half.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was 3-6 field goal-wise. But that's what impressed me. They were, you know, they had a solid, solid lead. And, yeah, you can give away a couple of touchdowns late. You know, that's not really going to matter. But that's a great win on the road. You know, the thing that amazed me the most is this seems to be the party destination, because that crowd was covered in red.
Yeah.
And it's just so noticeable. Yeah. I think the Chargers are in trouble with their fan base.
Yeah.
I don't think it's followed them up from San Diego, and it's a bummer of a road. But if you were a diehard Chargers fan, you would make that trip. That might be sending a message to the Raiders. That's, you know, a subject perhaps for another day. But the Chiefs certainly, in what is a 23,000-24,000 stadium, seemed to have it. It was almost like it was a Chiefs home game. And I'm very impressed. I think Mahomes, again, we talk about one performance doesn't make it, but that's an encouraging performance from him. I was disappointed in the Chargers, I have to admit. I thought it was a game they could have come out and won just because of the way they've been built, but it wasn't to be. I think one of the interesting stories comes in the other game, the Seahawks-Broncos.
Mm.
And the Seahawks, a number of the players ill and having to get IVs and things like that. Now, I find that slightly strange, because teams must be used to going in to Mile High. But and Pete Carroll, to be fair to him, has not made anything of it.
Yeah.
But you would think you would prepare and make sure, you know, you were stocked up, you had the right nutrients and things like that. So I thought that was a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I think from the Broncos' point of view, again, you've got a new quarterback. You're looking to see what he's going to do. But it's interesting, it was probably more on the other side of the ball. Von Miller, terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a much closer game than I thought it was going to be. Interesting to see Emmanuel Sanders seems to be back. But again, we talked about this before. Lo and behold, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are relevant now. Why? Because they've got someone who can actually find them. Keenum, I thought, did really well as well. 329 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But that Seahawks defense, and again, Pete Carroll's got a way of getting that defense working for him. He just does. It was a funny game, this one, as well. Obviously, Lindsay came from nowhere yes. and is scrambling around onto fantasy teams this week as well. And then Disley, whose name I had to go and look him up. No idea who it was.
Absolutely.
It's like, I've never heard his name before. So 105 yards and a touchdown from a tight end. And we've seen Jimmy Graham had an okay season there. But tight ends have never been the most popular position in Seattle. So to see a tight end doing that was quite something. Closer game than I thought, and actually quite an entertaining game. But there's positives for both these teams. Even Seattle, I think, can take a lot away from that and go, do you know what? We scored 24 points against what is a decent defense. And whilst they've lost a lot of players, they still managed to get those three interceptions. Definitely positives there for them.
I think the other late game as well, if you're talking about positives, I think quite a few people fancied the Redskins, but I don't think they fancied them to win in the manner in which they did. And I was very, very impressed. It was Alex Smith at his best. He just looked great. Adrian Peterson, pretty damn good as well. If I'm a Redskins fan, I'm encouraged by that because there's not been a blip with the loss of Cousins. They've got a running back who is talented. Cards, new coach, new quarterback. Almost a new ethos. I don't know if they're going to write the season off. I would certainly hope not. I was slightly surprised they went down so timidly.
Yeah.
But Josh Norman for the Redskins, Emmanuel Sanders for the Broncos. Now, they were in Scotland in December, had a word, and there you go. It just shows the power. So I'm a quarterback whisperer and a safety defence whisperer as well. So I'll take all the credit.
I think this says so much about Alex Smith as well. I think the fact that he's, you know, there's no real great wide receivers in Washington, and we lamented this beforehand as well. So what did he do? It's fine, he threw to his running backs, and these running backs were his top two receivers, followed by Jordan Reed. You know, Adrian Peterson, 96 rushing, 70 receiving. Unreal.
What stunned me about that, Cameron, was the fact that everybody says Adrian Peterson, if he's on the field, it's a running play.
Yeah.
Now, that's what we got in New Orleans. That's what we got in Arizona last year. So, kudos to the coaching.
Yeah.
Because they've obviously thought, right, it's opening day. We're on the road. Adrian Peterson goes in. They subconsciously are thinking, run. Yeah. Now, I'd love to know how much practice they've done because I think that's genius. I genuinely think that was beautifully used and in a league where you look for the smallest possible advantage to take a guy whose reputation is as a run only and actually throw the ball a few times. Okay, I mean, he's been thrown to in the past, but it's not been a high percentage play. That's genius. That did impress me.
Yeah, a really good performance from the Redskins. They had almost 2/3 of the possession of the whole game. I think it shows in the scoreline as well. Alex Smith has been a good pickup for them. Definitely that game manager that they needed. So one game that was, I thought, a complete disappointment was the Dallas Panthers game. And we thought this might have been a little bit tricky for Dallas, but even Carolina weren't brilliant. It really wasn't fun to watch this one at all, I didn't think. Cam Newton came out and, you know, 161 yards, no touchdowns thrown. He scored the touchdown himself, fine. But it just... yeah, disappointing. Christian McCaffrey's a player I think is really exciting. They didn't really use him all that much. Not a lot of yards gained by anybody. Greg Olsen obviously injured his foot, and we'll come on to that as well. But what a loss he is to them. And the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, 170 yards. Zeke Elliott got his touchdown, just under 70 yards. Cole Beasley seems to be their best receiver that they're going to. Because other than that, you're struggling. It's just a lot of nothing, really.
I thought it was quite like the Falcons-Eagles
game. Yeah.
There was not a lot to get excited about it. There wasn't a lot of stunning play. But I'll tell you what, that's week one. Play that game in week 11.
Yeah.
I think you get a lot different in terms of football. So I'm quite prepared to say, yeah, it's just one of these things. Cam Newton will run that team. If he plays well, he'll run them. A little bit more concerned for Dallas, but... you know, it's a tough one on the road, so you can't, I think, jump to conclusions too early. It's interesting, you know, reading some of the Dallas papers online, very worried about the quarterback, didn't think he played well. They might be the no-name receivers, but there was a bit of criticism coming for Zach Prescott as well. So Dak Prescott. So it's interesting. It's just all about, you don't want to have too many hot takes because it's week one.
Yeah.
But you can see where the concern starts to come from.
One hot take I'm taking from week one is Aaron Rodgers is still awesome. Because I think game of the whole weekend was that Bears-Packers game. Absolutely brilliant. I didn't watch it on the night. It had been a long evening. I needed my bed. So I went to bed after those sort of middle evening games. Got up and watched the whole game the following morning, and thank goodness I did, because it was brilliant. The Bears came out, and didn't they come out with the flying? It was brilliant. Trubisky looked really good. Loads of trick plays. Obviously, the playbook's been totally torn up from last season, started again. There was all kinds of different things. Linemen out wide, all kinds of trick plays. Fascinating. They dominated the first half. And I'll be honest, I thought, oh, the Packers are in trouble here, especially when Rodgers then went down. And, you know, the Packers didn't score any points until the second half. I can't remember the last time that happened. But back came the man himself, Aaron Rodgers. Ended up throwing for 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, and single-handedly, one-leggedly, orchestrated that comeback win. I think it's the biggest fourth quarter comeback in Packers history.
It was quite amazing. I mean, I only saw the highlights of the game.
You should go back and watch the whole thing. Yeah, it's worth it, I promise.
I was very, very impressed. Chicago, I said to you about how Tampa Bay came out under a new play caller. If you're going to somewhere that you normally lose, and let's be honest, the Bears haven't got a great record. In fact, this is the kind of game that I would have avoided. And it's the kind of game that tended to get picked for Sunday night football, Monday night football, because of the reputation of the game. And it's not been too much of a dual threat contest.
Yeah.
But it's great to see Chicago coming out, giving it a go. As you say, looking at the playbook, deciding on what they're going to do. I mean, they threw that ball about to loads of different people.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty good as well. Trubisky has to watch the ball, fumbled a couple of times, got one of them back. The boy Khalil Mack, he looks like he could be.
He could be a good player. I wonder why they let him go.
If anybody follows the fake John Gruden Twitter account, which is just a brilliant, brilliant account, you know, he came on and said, "Whoa, this guy Mack, must have a look at him. See if we can get him in." It just shows you he makes the difference. Now, in our event at the Golf Tavern, you know, Coach Don was talking about the quickness of the feet, and you know, we watch the game and you're watching the ball, the running back, and you don't necessarily watch the feet of these big guys, but gee whiz, Mack can move.
Oh, absolutely.
But you then talk about Aaron Rodgers. Is he one of the best? Yes, he is, without doubt. Should he have more Super Bowls? Well, see, that depends, because there's only a certain number of them to go around, and you're not, you know, Philip Rivers would love one, you know, for example. So it's not always the mark of the quarterback. But I just thought, from, you know, just looking at the highlights, there was just certain things about Aaron Rodgers. He was quite pumped up in the aftermatch interview as well. And why not? Why, you know, you should be delighted with a performance like that. Chicago would be gutted. I mean, that is blowing a lead.
Oh, it's 17-0 at halftime. And I sat as the break was on and I thought, this Chicago team could be a contender for this division here, absolutely. Second half, not so much, because they looked bereft of ideas. And actually, the young quarterback needing to then come back and win just didn't have it in him. And that'll come. Like you say, they found loads of receivers. He's got options now. Totally different playbook. That will absolutely come. For me as well, Aaron Rodgers is like the complete opposite, because when he comes out that team, and you saw it last season, the Green Bay Packers aren't relevant. Aaron Rodgers is what makes them relevant. Aaron Rodgers is what makes Randall Cobb relevant. He's the guy that's making Geronimo Allison the guy that everyone's picking as well on their fantasy team. Davante Adams is benefiting from that. Aaron Rodgers is the reason that they will go. And look, I'll be honest, for the sake of the NFL as a whole and for this league and this season, I'm delighted to see that Aaron Rodgers came back out and played that game out. And he says he will play this week against the Vikings. And I think that game now is one of my picks for week two. The Vikings-Packers is going to be an absolute belter.
But what we want to see is great quarterbacks. Because that's what makes the league. That's what makes it exciting. Rodgers back from injury, tick. Luck back from injury, tick. Because without them, the league's a poorer, poorer place, as most people would know. But it's just, they give you that excitement. They know they're coming on. And just, I mean, even just, as I say, watching the highlights, you could feel the buzz. You know, just a man standing in the middle. He's almost like, you know, 100 mile an hour around him, and he's just going at 30. Yeah. Because he knows, he's calm, he knows what's, it's almost Matrix-like, isn't
yeah.
it? You know, you just like, there goes the ball, here it goes, because I can do it. He is that good. You know, he's getting a lot of love here, obviously, but he is yeah. he is that good.
Well, another quarterback in the same division who suffered a leg injury that didn't have such a successful night is Matt Stafford, with his 286 yards, one touchdown and four interceptions, as the Lions got decimated by the tremendous New York Jets. And I was working through the night, so I got the benefit of seeing a lot of this game as well. And we tweeted out from the NFL official Twitter account a gif of basically a Muppet getting some cereal in his face, and we put welcome to the NFL Sam Darnold, because throw one, he throws across the field, which you just don't do, to his man. It wasn't a bad throw, but it brilliant, easy to be intercepted. It was pick six. What a start to the NFL. And to be fair to him, he went off, he does see himself down. You could see Josh McCown being over there and say, do you know what, it's gone now.
Yeah.
You go back on there and you focus on what you've got to do. And you could actually see McCown being a really positive influence. And Darnold went out there, and what a game the Jets had. Oh, unreal. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Not if you're a Lions fan, and I apologise, but if you're a Jet, then you're sitting going, this is brilliant. They'll be thinking they can beat the Patriots now.
Well, the two scorelines that surprised me this week were obviously 48 points that Tampa Bay put on the Saints, but if you'd said pick two teams to score 48 points on the road in week one,
yep.
the Bucks and the Jets would have been 15th and 16th on my list. There's just no way.
And the Jets even stopped. No points in the fourth quarter. Yeah. 31 points in the third quarter is just unreal.
Now look at the Lions problems. There's stories coming out, I don't know if people have seen them, that play calling was apparently tipped.
Mm.
So the Jets knew what was coming. Now you think, how do you know what's coming?
Yeah.
Now, there is, if you've watched the film, there might be a certain familiarity. They might have gone and had a look to see what, you know, Patricia liked to do in certain things in New England. That's quite a strange story, and I wonder if that will rumble at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, somebody tipping and say, you know, yeah, the boy's going to run it from, you know, the XY banana formation.
Yeah, yeah.
I just refuse to believe that was going to happen. But the Lions just got, and a playoff team last year, got blown away completely. That was, again, I mean, if you were going to give, you know, who's had their porridge
yeah.
award, you know, who's been, you know, either the individual MVP or the team, the Jets have to be up there.
Yeah.
Because, and what separates them is that they did it with a rookie quarterback. Fitzpatrick, I like. I think he's a good, solid NFL pro. I would rather play Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
From a Saints perspective. So to watch the Jets do that was pretty damn stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, for a team that didn't have anybody really to throw it to, Quincy Noon was back. Great name to say, great player to score. He looks to be lightning. They managed to get Isaiah Crowell playing well, 102 yards. His 62-yard rip-away for a touchdown was brilliant. Two touchdowns for him. A player who struggled at the Browns has come into the Jets, and you thought, oh, he struggled at the Browns, he'll struggle there. He actually looked really good. Darnold obviously threw his one interception, but that was it. After that, 198 yards, two touchdowns. 198 yards, and they managed to score 48 points, sorry. It's because his defense was doing all the scoring. It was absolutely yeah. unreal. Brilliant.
But I'm gonna give the same cautionary tale. I want to see it done again.
Yeah.
I've said this several times on this podcast, and I'm sure people are thinking, yeah, because you want to see it repeated. The final game, Rams-Raiders, I don't think anybody was surprised by the score. Raiders got blanked in the second half as the Rams basically just eased away.
Yeah.
I think we touched on it on the last pod. The Raiders aren't built to win. The Raiders are built to move at the moment. John Gruden's as safe as houses with a 10-year, you know, $100 million contract. So I don't think that's a problem. I think the Rams went in and did exactly what we thought the Rams would go in and do. And the Raiders did what we thought they might do, which wasn't a great deal. I think they've got a good quarterback. Not a lot else.
No. Jared Cook, 180 yards for a tight end. That's the one thing. But if you're going to talk about who's had their porridge, yeah. My nomination for this week is Marshawn Lynch, because that touchdown where he carried the entire Rams roster over the line as he was pushed, it was brilliant. That was like a Scottish rugby game. That's how we play our rugby. We build the ruck, we push over the line, and the ball's there, and that's exactly what happened. And there's a brilliant, and if you can go and see it, and I think it's Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, is trying to rip the ball out of Lynch's arms as he's crossing over the line. And I mean, he's proper pulling back with all his weight, trying to rip this ball. Lynch doesn't let it go. You know, he's got a grip of that, and that ball's not coming out. Brilliant play. And I have to say, you know, there's a lot of people maybe thought beast mode was past it, but he brought it back there. It was brilliant. So he gets he's had his porridge award of the week. So a bit of a bumper edition for this episode 18, but that's the one time this season that we're going to focus on every single game. Going forward, we're going to probably pick out our top 5 or 6 games of any week and focus in on those, and then briefly touch maybe some of those others. But Paul, we're coming into this as well on the back of a bit of a buzz, because we had our first ever live event at the Golf Tavern this weekend. Over 100 NFL fans packed in. There was loads of prizes given away. There was a brilliant raffle, and Andrew Luck top was one selected. Several other people won as well. We ended up doing a second and third prize on the night because so many people took part. We had Jamie and Don come along, who I thought were brilliant. All in all, a really good event.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to meet so many people. I think every team was represented. It was hard because I was taking the mickey out of the box. That didn't work very well. I think it just goes to show that there's a great appetite for the game. People want to come together and talk about the game.
Yeah.
I mean, there was people there in groups, but you could see them engaging in conversation with other people. I think everybody got into the spirit of it, which was pretty good. I think, you know, they enjoyed the Jim Mora, you know, the videos that we showed. Don's coaching was excellent about line play and how you hold your hands and things like that. I still think he should put Jamie on the carpet, but, you know, I'll forgive him for that. And Jamie's insight in how you deal with the media in Scotland and how it looks elsewhere was terrific. We've got some good question and answer session as well. But what really pleased me was, you know, when we finished the question and answer session, time for people to get a drink, check their fantasy teams. Nobody left. Everybody was staying for the football. The golf was a wonderful place to watch football. Food was great as well. So it was just such a great event. And I'm sure there were more people there thinking, I actually said I'd be home at that time, but I'm just staying out because this is wonderful. It was a really good event. We'd love to do them somewhere else. It's not, you know, technically always easy to do, but I think we'll be doing another one at some point.
Yeah, I think certainly the people at the golf want us to do one. They're going to be showing the NFL as well like that every single week. They brought out food for free while the event was going on, but I saw loads of people buying wings and burgers as well afterwards. The food was great. They've got some great drink offers. I have to say, it's the perfect place to go and watch football in Edinburgh. So if you are looking for somewhere to go with your mates, even yourself, and meet other NFL fans, there's a group there called NFL Edinburgh that they're going to be watching every week, but I think there'll be even more than that. I think it'll be the place to be. And it was brilliant, the fact as well, that we had Red Zone, we had the live game, and we had the audio.
Yes.
That really added. You're right, the atmosphere was brilliant. Everyone was having a laugh. And the feedback that we got was, you know, how much people had enjoyed it, but the chance to meet other people. In fact, I asked a couple of people on the night what they thought, and this is what they had to say.
It's been incredible, man. It's been great. It's been rare to get so many NFL fans together in Edinburgh at the one time. Sound on the TV for a start is amazing, but it's been so much fun. It's been great.
Oh, I had a great time. It's so nice to be around like-minded fans, creating a great atmosphere. Really good fun.
Yeah, it was a tremendous event here tonight. Generally, lots of fans from lots of different supporting teams, and it was just great to speak to everyone else and see what's what. And yeah, I mean, your team might not do well, but you can bounce off other folk and see what they're doing, and it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed it.
No, it's just good to hear so much opinion, so much interaction, to actually hear how the game works properly from the coaches and everything worked, but just so interesting. But just an Edinburgh point of view, the way it was done from a Scotland point of view, it's been amazing. It's been great.
Certainly beats sitting in the house with the wife and the kids trying to watch the American football.
Possibly the Jags beating the Giants. That was probably a highlight of the day. Like, that was really good. No, atmosphere's been fantastic. The games have been good. The Bucks game was incredible in terms of scoring. So no, it's been a really good kickoff to the whole season.
Like-minded fans, good banter. just the feeling you're involved, a couple of drinks, it's brilliant. You know what I mean? Can't beat it. I'd happily do this every week. Happily. If the missus is listening, then thumbs up, you know what I mean?
See you in February.
Pretty much. It's great, you know what I mean? You can't beat it.
I also had another quick catch-up with Jamie Borthwick to see what he enjoyed about the night. So, Jamie, week one event is now done and dusted. Did you enjoy it, first of all?
I really enjoyed it. It was a fantastic event. I think it went even better than expected. The turnout was fantastic. The whole layout of it was brilliant, which is complete credit to you and Paul. Oh, it was just a fantastic evening, yeah.
We had lots to talk about, and there was loads of people there, pretty much every team was represented. Paul talked earlier about the fact that, you know, the media section with the Jim Moore interviews went down quite well. Don's walkthrough was popular as well, although Paul saying once again he felt it was missing you being put into the carpet.
I know, yeah. I think that's why I kept my glasses on. I thought he can't stick a man with glasses down on the floor. It was brilliant. I was speaking to loads of guys, and so many people mentioned that. And you know, it's just the fact that we're not generally guys who grew up with this game. We have never actually been walked through stuff like that, so it was genuinely just fantastic to see someone who knows his stuff inside out, a Scot no less, be able to put it in those terms. And it was brilliant. Don was an absolute star.
Yeah, I thought both of you guys were brilliant. And on the back of it, we've already been facing a number of questions about when's the next one going to be. So the question is, are you in?
I will absolutely try to be there. I had such a brilliant time on Sunday that I would be there in a flash.
And then quickly, then let's just finish it off with, of all the games, you know, we had Red Zone, we had the live games on. What was the game from week one that got your attention?
It's got to be Tampa Bay's incredible win in New Orleans. That was absolutely ridiculous. Could not believe it. It was the gasps every time they scored. And not just from Paul. Everyone, no one saw it coming. That was absolutely fantastic view.
So there you go, Paul. That's what you get for saying that Jamie should have been put into the carpet.
So a couple of things just to finish off. We looked at Hard Knocks all the way through, and I think it was a decent final episode. I think what caught my eye was how they cut players, and having that phone beside you, knowing on that day if it was going to ring, it was the assistant GM and you were going to be called in. That's a horrible way to do it. What I did like, I mean, from Devin Caduce, who obviously hoped to make the team and didn't, to some of the veteran players, is they handled it pretty well.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson, I thought, came across really well and very compassionate in the way that he was dealing with people. I actually thought it was different and interesting to see that the assistant general manager as well was, we're unfortunately going to have to see you today. It's always felt, and whether it's been done for TV or for not, it's always kind of felt like the player has found out for the first time when they've sat in that room whether they're cut or not. Whereas this one, that the tone of the phone call was, look, this is coming, can we come and see you? And I thought that was a slightly different edge, and probably a nicer way to do it as well, rather than get someone in the room and be told there and then. It's a bit like if you ever go for an interview for a job, you know, you want it right away here, I've got some positive news for you, so you can relax and get on with what's going on. At least, you know, that piece around, unfortunately we're going to have to see you, means you know what's coming, you can prepare yourself for it as well. So if you're on TV, you can be ready so that your reaction is as professional as it can be. But no, I thought the Browns' man management of that was really strong. I just felt for them. It felt like every single person that they'd followed through it got cut. And that's unusual. Normally at least one of them makes it. But every single one of them got cut. So
yeah, and some have found new homes already. Some will find new homes in the next week because unfortunately players get injured. They seem to all go with good grace and good blessing. It's interesting, you know, some of the rookies hung around longer, you know, and one or two of the more established players basically in, shoot the hand of the coach, love you coach, I'm off because I know how this business works. So, but I thought Hugh Jackson handled them all pretty well. And yeah, I feel it's hard. Nobody likes to be told, well, I mean, this has been told to me before. Yeah, you didn't get the job. You would have been our second choice. It's like, don't care.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that doesn't actually make me feel any better. So I thought that was very interesting. And that links on to the fact that there are going to be job opportunities because people, unfortunately, get injured. Now, you've looked at, you talked to Keenan Neal, the safety from the Falcons, ACL, boom. Deion Jones, the linebacker, has been placed on injured reserve, so immediately they're on the back foot. Delaney Walker, gone for the season. And then you look at others who got hurt. Doug Baldwin got hurt. Deshaun Jackson's in concussion protocol. Greg Olsen is talking about it might not be as bad as he feared. He can play with it bandaged up and he'll get the operation. Because what we tend to think, if somebody's out for 3 months, doesn't sound like a long time in some sports, but that's your season.
That's the season, absolutely.
That's you gone. And Fournette, of course, running back with the Jags, I think that's the concern. So jobs do open up, and that's why I think for the likes of the Caduceus of the world, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, you have got to keep yourself fit, active, healthy, of the right mindset, and hope that your agent is getting you put forward and you're ready to react.
And someone like Caduceus, I guess that's the benefit of Hard Knocks.
Yes.
It's actually, people have seen his character and the likability of it. So there's a positive PR move even in picking up someone like him to your practice squad or something like that. And like you say, especially at tight end where they seem to be dropping, that's the sort of position that maybe you want to bring him in and better his blocking, that they focused on the fact that he was making improvements. Yes, he gave away some penalties and things like that. Work on that in his game and maybe he can come good. So yeah, good to see those opportunities. Time will tell. Roback looks as though he's going to get picked up to a squad somewhere as well. So that's positive.
He came across likeable, didn't he?
He did. And a sort of funny character. Him and his girlfriend were very loud and sort of quite confident at times, but he just wanted his chance. And when he got it, the only thing is, my goodness me, he likes to swear when he's on the field. But that was one thing. I was like, just take the edge off. It's okay. You don't need to swear that much. But, you know, he went out and did a job, and you could see that Hugh Jackson said to him, look, you know, you've come in and challenged up against the number one pick in the draft. You were on a hiding to nothing there. Drew Stanton's a good quarterback who they've brought in to coach.
To mentor, yeah.
Yeah. And then they're always going to go with Tyrod Taylor. So the best he could hope for was practice squad. So I think, yeah, he will end up somewhere. But actually, I really enjoyed the season of Hard Knocks. I thought it was really, really good. And I look forward to next year. So moving on then, and we'll finish this one up with our pick six selection. So the scores on the door so far. Paul, you've taken an early lead with 4. I'm one behind with 3. Colin didn't do so well for our guests. They're sitting on 1, so he's hanging his head in shame somewhere. but the games this week, and I spoke to Jamie earlier, so I've got his picks already. We'll come to those in a second. But let's kick off, first of all, in your division. And we said that they both played in games that were like each other, but this week the Panthers play the Falcons. How do you see it going?
Falcons. Falcons have to win.
So I think this is an interesting one. I actually could see the Panthers coming in and winning here. Those defensive injuries to Atlanta could be telling. And if Cam Newton's on form, this could be a difficult one. This is going to be one of those ones that's either going to be super high scoring or nothing.
Yeah, another 18-12.
Yeah. But I could see the Panthers edging that one myself.
It's good to disagree.
So moving on then as well, and we're talking about 2 quarterbacks then, the Texans at the Titans. Another divisional game.
See, that's a game I'd love to watch because you've both lost in different circumstances because Houston perhaps didn't expect to win in New England. Tennessee, I think, did expect to win in Florida. I mean, that's a crapshoot right there, to be perfectly honest. I'll go with the Titans simply because I think they need it more for their season.
So this is going to take us in different directions completely as well. I'm going to go for the Texans. So excellent. There's either going to be some daylight or I'm going to take the lead. So the Texans, for me, I just think Deshaun Watson's got that first game out of his system. And he looked a lot better in that second half against the Patriots. If that Deshaun Watson can come out, and for me it depends as well if how shook up Mariota is from that foot injury. Obviously, I don't think there's much chat that he's going to miss the game. But yeah, definitely an interesting one. And again, the Texans are still all fit. They're still all fit. And this is what I keep happening. Same with the Bengals. The Texans and the Bengals are 2. As long as they're all fit, they're going to be half decent. So I've got to look at the Texans.
Well, if he played in Memphis, he'd be all shook up.
He would be.
Thank you.
Oh dear. So the one game that you can watch on Sky Sports this week at 6 o'clock is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this one is fascinating because I've seen people online, Steelers fans, say, we're going to absolutely romp this. And I've seen Kansas City fans say, oh, this will be an absolute breeze. I actually think this could go either way, really, in theory.
The only thing that settles it for me is home field advantage, okay, which is my default position if I'm not sure. So I'll take Pittsburgh. Would I be surprised if Kansas go 2-0 on the road? I'll tell you what, if they do, they're going to be hard to stop.
We're just at odds this week because I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs because Tyreek Hill was an absolute monster. They just got Kareem Hunt warmed up slightly. They've not even started to use him. Mahomes is looking tremendous, and Spencer Ware's back as well, which is another factor. I think this is, to your point earlier, James Conner is either going to get found out as a boom or a bust.
Yes.
And if he is a boom, then fine, the Steelers might well edge this one. But if he's a bust, they're going to struggle. And I see Kansas City coming away with the win. So, another divisional one, Dolphins at Jets.
Pooh. You look at it and you think, the Jets have to build. But you look at it and think, Dolphins have now almost got a free hit because I'm not sure they thought they were going to win. Let's see Sam Darnold start with a win at his home stadium. I think the place will be buzzing for him. I think the excitement in New York, because if you look at any of the New York papers or websites, they've kind of liked Du Bois' performance. Let's take the Jets.
I'm going to go the Jets with this one as well. I think that it'll be much closer than what they faced with the Lions. I don't think Tannehill's going to come out and be as bad as Matt Stafford. But it'll be interesting to see if they can continue. If the Jets do go in and win and play as well as that, then there's going to be a lot of attention on them. But Sam Darnold now has expectation on his shoulders, yes, which he didn't have. Well, he did to an extent, but now he's got real expectation because he's proved that he can do it. So it'll be interesting to see if he can. His defense is going to not play. They're not going to do as well as they did against the Lions. So there might be more stress on his shoulders as he's having to come back and take his side in front. We've not really seen that from him much yet, other than when he threw that initial pick six. So that'd be interesting to see how he copes with the pressure, but sticking with the Jets. Vikings at Packers up next.
Oh, what a game that should be. I mean, that's just one of these games you want to see. You would have to be daft a bit against Aaron Rodgers at the moment, though. Although, to be fair, if the Vikings could certainly do a lot better than the Bears in keeping them at bay if they get ahead, that would be the concern. I don't think the Packers could do to the Vikings what they did to the Bears, but I'll take Green Bay.
So I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one. So I think I saw enough out of that defence to say, do you know what? They'll be able to keep Aaron Rodgers close enough that Kirk Cousins will do enough to punish them. I think as well that I think the 49er defensive line is stronger than the Green Bay one, and I think that the run game will be more of a factor in this one. Dalvin Cook could really come back to form this week. I think it'll be an interesting one. I think it will be very close, and I agree with you. I think this is, to be fair, there's some really good games on at 6 o'clock this week, and they've gone for the Giants at the Cowboys for the Sunday night game.
That's ratings chasing. That's just what happens, unfortunately. The NFC East gets all of that, so no, not for me.
Not for me either. Right, okay, so I'm going to pick an interesting one. We've tended to stick to the 6 o'clock games for the pick six section, but we're going off piste with this one because it is a AFC Championship game replay as the Patriots this time travel to the Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you see that one playing out?
Oh, wow. What a great slate of games this weekend. I'll take the Patriots because I'm not prepared to bet against Tom Brady just yet and Bill Belichick. Would it surprise me if the Jags won? No. The Jags, everybody, we still keep homing on the fact that it's Blake Bortles. And until he does just more than he's done, I know he took them to the title game last year, but he never did it for me with that sort of swagger or confidence of a Breeze, a Rodgers, a Brady, you know, even Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. He's yet to show me that I can, you know, fully trust him. And I don't think anybody's necessarily surprised at that. But when you're head-to-head with Tom Brady, you do need a bit of swagger back then.
You definitely do. And one thing about me is I'm an idiot that never learns. So don't bet against the Patriots. I'm betting against the Patriots. I'm going to go for the Jacksonville Jaguars in this one. And I think much like the Jets D did against the Lions, it will be the Jags D that completely wins this against the Patriots. I think that it will be more a case of getting the ball out of receivers and out of running backs rather than picking off Brady. But Jalen Ramsey's been running his mouth and he's got to prove it. I thought that the Jags D did really well against the Giants week one. They can do it at home, especially against the Patriots in week two. It'd be interesting to see if the Hurricane plays into this one at all. I think Jacksonville is far enough out of the range that they shouldn't be impacted, but might have some disruption for them during the week potentially. But and the only other thing as well is, will Leonard Fournette be there? But actually, I saw enough out of Yeldon to say, do you know what, he could add something here. They've got Corey Grant in the backfield as well, who's that fast receiving back, much like Corey Clement. So there's factors there. Keenan Cole, I thought, looked decent as well. Austin Seferian Jenkins is a target. So, yeah, I'm going for the Jacksonville
Jaguars. Still betting against the Patriots.
I still am betting against the Patriots. So that's our thoughts. Let's turn now to our guest representative this week and back to Jamie Borthwick. So, Jamie, this is our pick six section, and the guest account is not off to the best of starts. Colin got just one out of six right from the week one fixture, so no pressure. But
I don't think my picks at the weekend were terribly good. There's only one way to go, and that's up.
Well, indeed. So we'll start, first of all, with the Panthers at the Falcons.
Yeah, Carolina didn't really convince over a Cowboys team that you would expect are going to lose a lot more than they win this year. The Falcons, on the other hand, were really wasteful with a lot of the ball in really good positions. But I think getting back to their home ground, I think the Falcons are going to do this one.
So Falcons on that, right. Texans at Titans up next.
Titans were the biggest disappointment of the weekend for me. I was really expecting so much more from them. And the Texans, well, they came up against, once again, a really well-drilled outfit in the Patriots, but still showed a little bit, so I'm gonna back the Texans for a road win here.
Chiefs at Steelers next, the Sky game.
I think what the Chiefs excited a lot of people, didn't they? And while the Steelers, we knew that they weren't going to be completely, you know, at firing at their best, and it was a very strange game in Cleveland, all told. That said, I think Pittsburgh at home are a serious proposition, so I'm going to go for the Steelers to take that one.
And then Dolphins at Jets.
Probably two surprise packages there, Dolphins and Jets. When plenty of hype building up in New York around Darnold after that performance. Apparently they're heading for a sellout, and they can get noisy when they're right behind them, so let's go for the Jets in that one.
Jets there, right, okay. Vikings at Packers.
Love the Vikings. I thought they looked indomitable. And Aaron Rodgers is clearly made out of some sort of material that's not usually found on the planet Earth. We don't know how he's going to get through his various rehabs he's having this week. And that Vikings D is still just utterly astonishing. So let's go with Minnesota.
And then finally, to wrap it all up, the rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year, the New England Patriots at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You don't want to be that guy to write off the Patriots that happens every single year, but on this occasion I'm going to be that guy writing off the Patriots. I thought the Jaguars looked superb against the Giants. Their D is still looking ferocious, so let's say Jacksonville for the home win.
Yeah, you and me are in that one together, so we're either going to look like a couple of geniuses or a couple of idiots. And I think I know where my money's going, actually, to be honest.
I know. That's sadly familiar, actually, that one.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for joining us. Well, that concludes things for episode 18. We hope you've enjoyed listening, and again, we'd love to hear your feedback, good and bad. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at ScotlandNFL and on Facebook, www.facebook.com/ScotlandNFL.
Thanks to all of you who have been listening, sharing and chatting about the podcast. Great to meet so many of you at the Golf Tavern last Sunday night. And please continue to share the link to the podcast, because we kind of like doing it.
Make sure that you take part in our vote as well for the new NFL Scotland logo. One person will be drawn to win an exclusive hoodie with that winning logo on it. All the details are on our Twitter account, and voting is open until Monday the 24th of September at 10 p.m.
Thanks for joining us. It's been a bumper edition this week. We'll be back reviewing all the week two action and what a great slate of games we have. But until then, thanks for listening. Bye for now.